Good morning.
We got 15. That's good. 17 is doing my thing. Cool. Well, a very warm welcome to the virtual church experience of St. Mark's. It's really nice to get to see a lot of you right now, even if it's virtual. And this is obviously a experiment and one that's difficult for me because I like to touch and hug. And I had to even give Walter a little elbow bump when he came in. But I'm grateful for Walter Michael, who's here to read. And now if you turn in your prayer books to page 39, or if you are on the internet, you can go to the link I sent out, which is bcponline.org, and then click on the left link and the daily office, and then click on right one, morning prayer. Some of you know this service by heart, I know as well. When you see me lean forward, it's that I'm admitting more people, but I want you all to know that we have right now almost 20 people on our first virtual church experience. And so that should make all of our hearts glad with our community that is so close to each other. So let us begin with some words of scripture. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others, those things that are necessary for our life and our salvation. and so that we may prepare ourselves in heart and mind to worship him this morning. Let us in silence and with a penitent and obedient hearts confess our sins so that we may obtain forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. Even as our computers are muted, we know that God's ears are not. So please join me as we say, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws, and we have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare thou those who confess their faults. Restore thou those who are penitent. According to thy promises declared unto mankind, in Christ Jesus our Lord, and grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly and righteous and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us say together the Jubilate, found on page 45. O be joyful in the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with a song. Be ye sure that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. O go your way into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and speak God of his name. For the Lord is gracious, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth from generation to generation. Our psalm appointed for today is Psalm 95. In the prayer book, it's on page 724. We will read this together. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and raise a loud shout to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the caverns of the earth, and the heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands have molded the dry land. Come, let us bow down and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would hearken to hear his voice. Harden not your hearts as your forebears did in the wilderness, at Meribah, and on that day at Massah. When they tempted me, they put me to the test, though they had seen my works. 40 years long I detested that generation and said, this people are wayward in their hearts. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. The first lesson
is coming from Romans chapter 5. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope. Just let somebody else in. We boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually declare or dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Responding with the first canticle, the Song of Zechariah, found on page 50 of our prayer books. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and he hath raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our forefathers, and to remember his holy covenant, to perform the oath which he swore to our forefather Abraham, that he would give us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people for the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading comes from John chapter 4. Jesus came to the city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw the water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it? A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get the living water? And you, greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship the spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. Jesus said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Then they left the city, and they were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around you and see the fields are ripe with harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here they say holds true, one sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and I have not entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believe in him because the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he says there stayed there 2 days. And many more believe because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us respond with canticle number 2, the Song of Simeon, found on page 51. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got to say, my first virtual sermon feels a little weird because I'm used to being able to move around. If I move too far, you won't see me anymore. But I am very, very glad to see each of your faces and to know that I think we're up to 23 different people that have been able to log on to this first experiment of virtual church. Experiments and new things and weird things is certainly right in line with where we all are right now. It was a weird week for us to have our family vacation. By the middle of last week, it was certainly clear that things were shifting greatly. By the time that everybody was checking their phones at the bottom of every ski lift. You all already know that I would love to be a ski bum, and maybe I was in a formal life, but it was clear that things were shifting just so quick, and we were trying to assure the kids that things were going to be okay at the same time as yelling at them to wash their hands and to not touch utensils and to use hand sanitizer and all the other precautions that we're all taking. And there was one moment where Nev, and it's almost like a gift of the Holy Spirit, just looked at us and said, I understand, Mom and Dad, and that this is just going to be a major mark in my life. It's true. It's just a major mark in our history where we have plenty and so much unknown. And so much known. It's true. Nev's real-time reflection sums up that we're just in a new day right now. We're in the midst, to quote the World Health Organization, of a global health pandemic. We've seen those words, and they're scary. They're fraught with what's next? How is this going to change my life? What is going to be new? What is going to be different? Who's going to get sick? Are we going to lose loved ones and friends and family? It's a new day. After all, after 250 years, sometime in March of 1770, this parish gathered for the first time. And today we're gathering on the internet. It's that new of a experience. Yet we remain connected to each other today through our voice and sight transmitted over the fiber optic cables. But all this newness sends off, at least it does for me, an enormous amount of emotions and questions about life, emotions such as fear, uncertainty, anxiety. Are we safe? What about tomorrow? These emotions in a time of uncertainty lead us to react too. We react with strong emotions. We have a run of on toilet paper at the grocery store. And we also have the sadness of things canceled. You all could just imagine the fact that I can't watch basketball anymore. There's no more UVA basketball games. Parentheses, and I hope this is can become a positive joke, but parentheses, that does make UVA the reigning national champion again this year. Just saying. Not that we're keeping score of that. But there are these gut-wrenching decisions around cancellation, everything from basketball games to Pinewood derbies to corporate meetings to vestry meetings to church worship.
These things are all tied together, and they create a sense of uncertainty in our lives. And then when we feel uncertain, right, we begin to question everything. And when we question everything, we begin to judge everything, don't we? We begin to look at each other, and we begin to point fingers at who's done it right or who's done it wrong. And we have this power of the unknown that's bubbling up in these questions and in these judgments. And frankly, it drives us up the wall, right? It drives us maybe to Facebook, or maybe to scream out loud, or maybe to cry. It's all mixed together. Wherever you are, I guarantee you feel this sort of knot of what to do next. What will happen is all we really want to know. And then we become fixed on the news headlines, trying to answer the question of what will happen. Because at this point, it does seem like if another shoe will drop, it just seems like when will the next shoe drop? Frank Snowden, who's a Yale historian and wrote Epidemics in Society, he argues that pandemics hold up a mirror to society and force us to ask basic questions. What is possible? What is possible imminent death trying to tell us? Where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this? Snowden's question is one of the questions that we all have. Where is God in our global pandemic? Now, it's an old question with an old answer. An answer about a story of a baby born in a manger who became a carpenter and then the savior of the world. In other words, where is God in all of this leads us back to that story of God. So in other words, our emotions and our questions aren't new, but it's an old experience. It's one that was experienced by the Samaritan woman in the gospel reading that Walter just read, that famous woman at the well reading. Just to give you a quick backdrop, because it's a long, long reading. I'm glad Walter did it. Jesus arrives, this is from our Storymakers curriculum, and it reads, Jesus arrives at Jacob's well and encounters a woman who is drawing water all by herself. Now, in those days, collecting water was a social activity and done either in the cool morning or evening with your friends and family. It's one of the original reasons why we say water cooler talk, as an example. And so if the village was practicing social distancing, aka our buzzword of the year, then you would have collected water like this woman in the heat of the day when no one else would be out. Now, the part that we also know is that this woman wasn't allowed to be with the people in the morning or in the evenings in the cool shade. She was a Samaritan. She was viewed unclean. She was viewed dangerously by the others, especially the Jews, which is why she has such a strong reaction when a Jew, Jesus Christ, comes over to talk to her. So this woman then all of a sudden is pushed out of what she knows is her comfort zone, because she's not expecting anybody to come and talk to her while she's at the well. She is fearful, in other words, when people interact with her, and that this place is off limits for her makes it even more intense. So here you have Jesus breaking the social norm to come and be with her, someone who his group shuns and condemns because she's unclean. So imagine if you're this woman at this point. Think about her emotional state. She's sort of with trepidation going to Jacob's well. And then this leader, maybe she's heard of his healings, maybe not, but he shows up. And he's known as a Jewish rabbi, as a teacher, as a leader already. And then he starts to interact with her. And then he drops the big bomb on her, right? That he knows everything about her. That famous passage where he says, oh, I know all your husbands, right? In other words, I know all your sins. I know all your darkest secrets. I know you, Samaritan woman. So imagine at that point the level of fear and uncertainty that this woman must have felt. She, without question, and without Facebook, 24-hour news, or anything else coming at her, must feel totally unnerved about what's going on. So she must be waiting for that other shoe to drop, for the hammer of condemnation or of anger or of any type of forceful criticism to come at her. And yet it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Jesus, on the other hand, absorbs her fears and her pains. He absorbs her stress and her fear into his body by accepting her and then offering her something new, the living water. Jesus changes this woman's whole understanding of life because he doesn't only offer her the living water. Notice that he reveals himself to her. He makes this woman, who is chock full of fear and uncertainty, feel completely whole and accepted when he reveals himself as the Christ, the Messiah. In the midst of her high anxiety moment, where she's questioning everything about life, Jesus shows up and reveals himself to her. In other words, in the midst of her social isolation, quarantines, through social norms in that time, but for us it's through this pandemic, Jesus breaks through and clings right to her with love and acceptance and living water. And so, too, he does it with us. He's here with you and me in your rooms, in your homes, in your gazebos, wherever you may be today, tomorrow, and yesterday. He is here with you. And how do we know? We know that because he told his disciples as he prepared to leave them and ascend to his Father. He said, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And that's the best news that we can ever think about with our emotions and our questions, is that we can hand them over to him. We can let him have it, because like the Samaritan woman, he already knows what we're thinking. He already knows where our blood pressure goes up. He already knows what we're scared of, what we're Googling, what we're reading about, what we think might happen, what we think won't happen. He already knows these things, and he's absorbing them. In other words, we can cling to Jesus because, like that Samaritan woman, he's already clinging to us, giving us living water. Now, Nev mentioned about this global pandemic being a mark in history. And that's a true statement. But what is also equally true is that each one of us has already been marked. In our baptism, we have been claimed through a mark on our forehead that says you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. Jesus is real, people. He is coming and he visits you and me wherever we are. He is present in our life as a real and palpable thing. And my prayer is that we all sit by the well with a feeling of isolation, with loneliness, that we would know that where we are in this moment in time, that we are always marked as his. He has marked us. We've been claimed as Jesus Christ forever, and he will not let us go. He has claimed his body to ours. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me as you can, Book of Common Prayer, page 53, as we recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Then the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of his body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
The prayers this morning are on page 54. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Continuing on, page 55, with suffrage B. O Lord, save thy people and bless thy heritage.
Govern them and lift them up forever.
Day by day we magnify thee.
And we worship thy name ever, world without
end.
Vouchsafe, our Lord, to keep us this day without sin.
O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us.
O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us.
As our trust is in thee.
O Lord, in thee have I trusted.
Let me never be
confounded. Let us pray. Almighty God, who seest that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves, keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. This is the collect for protection. Assist us mercifully, O Lord, in these our supplications and prayers, and dispose the way of thy servants towards the attainment of everlasting salvation, that among all the changes and chances of this mortal life, they may ever be defended by thy gracious and ready help through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who didst stretch out thine arms of love on the hard wood of the cross, that everyone might come within the reach of thy saving embrace, so clothe us in thy spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not love thee to the knowledge and love of thee, for the honor of thy name. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, I would encourage your prayers either out loud or internally, Lord,
name any of those that you wish to pray for at this time. We particularly pray for all those on our parish prayer list. Remembering especially Bobby Wade this morning. Lord, we also ask that you watch over and that you protect all those that are on the front line of this fight against this global pandemic. Lord, we pray for all medical personnel, healthcare workers, first responders, governmental officials, leaders in our communities, Lord, for our President Donald and our Governor Ralph and the Mayor Mary Bess, Lord, we pray for them. We ask that you give them wisdom and discernment at this time, Lord, and that you strengthen them. Lord, we pray for the church, for our Bishop Mark, for our presiding Bishop Michael, and our Archbishop, Lord Justin. We pray for all clergy, all parishioners of both the Episcopal Church and all of our Christian brothers and sisters. We pray for all those that feel ever more isolated and lonely, that you would meet them, Lord, at their well with hands of love and connection, or that you would reveal yourself to all those that at this time feel pushed out, adrift, unsure and uncertain and fearful of what's next, that you would meet them, Lord, with your outstretched arms of love, absorbing all of our fears and uncertainties and offering us that living water that can sustain us. Finally, Lord, we would pray that you would offer new ways of connection through the internet and through telephones and letters and writings, phone calls, that you would bind us together through your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we remain one church under one God with one Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us say together the general thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We bless thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for thine inestimable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, for the hope of glory, and we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to thy service, and by walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory in the world without end. Amen. Almighty God, who has given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication unto thee, and hath promised through thy well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, that will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, the desires and petitions of thy servants, as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of thy truth, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost to be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen.
So again, I'm going to try to unmute everybody. It might be too loud, and in which case we'll take that off. But let's see here. Is that too loud for everybody? I just wanted to just say, hey, George, I see you down there.
Hey, Will, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. It's really, it's just so nice to see everybody. I think we the final tally, not that we're keeping score, but I think we did have almost 24 people log on today, which is just awesome. And it's so nice for me to get to see your faces. You know, one of the things that, of course, I certainly value, and I know that you all do too, is community and like connection. And and at this time, it's a really hard thing. And so I just appreciate you all spending the time to do this today and allowing us to remain connected and for you all get to see each other. I do think you saw some of the notes, and for this week, there is not going to be any real activities at St. Mark's other than our AA groups and the BIPOC food pantry. And both of those groups are taking the proper precautions in terms of hygiene and sanitizing and individual packaging. And I'm grateful for their help to do that. And in the next couple of days, probably as early as tomorrow, we'll sort of formulate a plan for the next couple of weeks and see how this pandemic unfolds. But we sure hope, and from everything that I've read, that this idea of slowing down the curve is what we're all called to do in community to protect, obviously, the most vulnerable among us. So does anybody, just because we're all connected right now, does anybody have any questions or want to offer anything while we're all together?
At the bottom, there's a little plus and a minus, and you go to the plus.
All right. Can you hear somebody talking? Can somebody ask? Let's see here. Was somebody going to talk, and I'll mute them or unmute them?
This little plus.
Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Well, we're going to – I muted everybody again because I was getting some feedback. And so I will continue to refine my Zoom skills. I just want to send you out with a blessing. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, knowing that He is surrounding you with His loving presence, connecting you, loving you, holding you. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.